Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Welcome to the Hollywood Casino Press Box with your hosts, Frank Cusimano and Martin Kilcoyne.
Shooter from the belt to the plate. A swing and a miss, and that's the winner! That's the winner! A World Series winner for the Cardinals!
The best guests, the best insight.
Lofton with his team down by two, to the corner, Caputo! No good! And it's over! St. Louis is going dancing!
All backed by over 40 combined years of covering the biggest events in St. Louis sports.
Blues have the puck. Thomas off the wall. Shoots, and it's in. They score! It's the St. Louisan, Pat Maroon. Bring out the Zamboni. Pat Maroon just put the city on his shoulders, and he saved them to the conference finals.
Now, here are Frank Cusimano and Martin Kilcoyne on 590 The Fan KFNS and 590thefan.com.
Good morning and welcome. Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all-new 590 The Fan. Well, in a span of 24 hours, I went from steak, lobster bisque, and bananas Foster at Al's to a peanut butter and jelly sandwich last night at Channel 5.
It could be worse. You could be sitting here at 10:06 thinking Frankie was bringing food today. Now, Brian, put yourself on the mic.
Hello.
Did you have the same understanding that I did from our group text last night?
Frank texted last night about 9:31, scones, anyone. And that's all it said. So you said yes.
Sounds good.
Blueberry.
You put it in order, actually.
Yes.
So I had this vision that Monique is now on a baking kick because she made these incredible croissants yesterday. So this morning, I haven't eaten a thing. I've had some coffee, and I'm like, when I get there.
Oh. So you came in ready to go. So I was suggesting that one of you would actually pick up the load here.
Brian and I read it the same way, that Frank was offering us scones, but clearly you wanted us to get them.
You know, it would have been a nice gesture, like if you were an intern here, maybe from Ole Miss, it's your last day, you want to thank the group. That would have really been a great gesture, wouldn't it?
Just a thought.
Nice. Yeah.
And that's also a great move.
That's how I got my job.
It's also a great move by Frank to shift the blame from him. So we're here till 12 if you're in the bakery business.
That's right.
Or in any, like, honestly, Carl's
really
right
any,
up the road.
Burgers, pizza, whatever. Yeah, any business.
You know, the Starbucks Wayne Gretzky one, not very far away, they do make good scones, too.
So you were suggesting we bring those in.
Maybe a guy like Joe Fresta, who's always at that.
Hockey Insider with Charlie Tuna.
Yes. He could stop by.
Ooh, what about your guy at Missouri Bakery? The drops.
Oh, Joe Lordo.
Oh, yeah,
chocolate drops. Have you had the chocolate drops?
Yeah, you brought them in. I dominated them.
Yeah.
You dominated.
Great.
You ever had chocolate drops, Hallie? No. Hallie's from the Altoff area, Altoff High School.
I think we got time for this. Chocolate drops.
Yeah,
Missouri
how about I just run out right now?
Here we go. Here we go.
I'll be back in time.
All right. Very nice gesture.
This is gonna sound
Martin,
terrible,
she just needs your credit card.
This is going to sound terrible, but I left my wallet in my car. It's a true story.
We've heard that one before. All right, good guest list, Brian, today. We're going to have Bill McDermott at 10:30.
And then Rick Hummel, assuming his flights are on time, around 11:30.
He's headed to...
Frankie was in Kansas City, so now he's heading to Cincy, but he's got to stop in Detroit.
Wow, who booked him? Somebody from KSDK? Okay.
See the world?
Yes.
See America?
See America plan. All right, our opening monologue is brought to you by our great friends at Worldwide Technology Raceway. And let's begin with lap one. So it's happening. The MLS will make it official. It's going to be Tuesday at 11:30. And good for Ben Fred, who reported it first. The press conference is going to be something special in St. Louis sports. I don't think even the NFL can stop us now. The interesting thing is that neither the MLS or the MLS for the Lou Group would confirm it last night. Now it's up to the MLS, and they're not going to confirm it. And the MLS for the Lou Group had to stay down. Jim Cavanaugh via text this morning. All is good moving forward. Still waiting on some final pieces from the MLS. So I imagine on Tuesday, in addition to the announcement, Martin, we may get some info on things like stadium sponsorship, the team name, maybe a few executives. We won't get it all, but I imagine we'll get something like that on Tuesday, don't you think?
And I think that's the next... I guess, door to reveal. People knew this was happening. It was like a terribly kept secret. Don Garber gushed every time in recent weeks when he talked about St. Louis. But now what everyone wants to know, primarily, I would say, is team name. What the league probably wanted to know was sponsorship. And my understanding is naming rights for an MLS stadium, this one, which will have multi-use, could be in that $3 to $4 million range per year. And the jersey, the shirt sponsorship, could also be around $3 million a year. That's some big bucks. I'd heard Express Scripts name thrown around, but I don't know who's stepping up with the naming rights and the jersey. I'm hoping that they reveal some of that. Team name, I was told, is still not decided. And can you have the opening press conference without naming the team?
I think they probably have to do a little more, you know, research and development on this.
Do you like?
I mean, have they done that much?
Do you like Gateway FC?
Does it always have to be FC? Why can't it be like, you know, the Stallions?
We've gone through the names around the league, too. Not everybody
but
is
soccer
United
people
or Sporting.
Are insulted. We say, oh, it's got to be FC. You
know? Not only are they insulted, when I said it's not, I was told by somebody who knows, they said it is not going to be St. Louis FC. And I spelled it S-T Louis FC. And they said, you're correct, because that's not how you spell it in the first place. It's St. Louis, S-A-I-N-T. I'm like, oh, my God.
This is what you got to deal with, soccer guy. I'm telling you.
Soccer guy, I'm not ready for this.
Yeah, I can't.
And Bill McDermott's a soccer guy, but he's not that soccer guy. But hopefully some of the details, get rolled out.
To be fair, this is a sample size of one. When the NFL announced a Houston expansion team that became the Texans, the name came after the announcement. They officially announced it in March of 2000. They named the team that September.
Yeah.
So it doesn't necessarily have to have
Look,
a name.
You've got to remember, too, it's not till 2022. So they got some time, want to be really careful.
Yeah, I don't think they're ready to roll out a name, but it would be sort of fun, wouldn't it? I guess that could be a separate press conference.
Yeah.
Have the first one just to say we've done it all the hard work. And even though it's taken forever, how many people do we have on? And we would say, anything on MLS? No, it's quiet. It's quiet. For like a year and a half. Yeah. Well, it's quiet. And this has actually gone pretty quickly for this group, don't you think?
Yeah.
Relatively speaking.
How about the Kimo's Chop House Dome?
Yeah. Presented by Nathan Reed. We'll just have a rotating name. I mean, there's only a handful of companies in town that could spend that kind of money. I think if Enterprise or National Car Rental, I just wonder if the league gets in and says, listen, there can only be so much that Enterprise and their family is paying for. I wonder if they pushed them in other directions. Like, you can't be paying for everything. We need some other people to step up.
How about this, too? A spring weekend in St. Louis in a few years. Blues game, Cardinals game, MLS game, XFL game, and a NASCAR event. We'll be busy.
Man, I think, you know, seeing John Bomarito on Monday at the CBC golf outing, he'd been spearheading that for years. He said, you know, I'm stepping away from this. In part, one of my big things now is really going to focus on motorsports. And I think working with Curtis and I think NASCAR's
Dave Stewart,
and I think NASCAR's on his radar, too. So that would be something.
All right, now, if you put your good friend and ticket giver, Bill DeWitt III, on a lie detector now.
I paid
now,
for those Def Leppard seats.
If you said, are you happy that the MLS is coming? What do you think he'd say on the lie detector?
On the lie detector? I still think it's, I don't think they feel threatened by MLS. And there will be a honeymoon period the first couple years where everybody, it's going to be the, like a restaurant, right? It's the hot thing when it's new.
Shout out
to Kimo's. No, but the MLS is going to have that honeymoon period.
And that leads us to lap two. So as excited as I am, I think it's great. And I'll be honest, I don't wear sambas. I haven't watched much of the league on television. I just wonder about the attendance. Now, everybody who knows a lot more about soccer than I do, like Steve Petra and Bill McDermott, all say the games will be sold out. That's the way it happens. And the stadium, by the way, is going to seat, there's been two different reports, between 22 and 25. So I went and looked at attendance figures today, and Portland does draw 25. Atlanta, 52,000 a game. Seattle, 39,000 a game. But then, Martin, you have cities like Columbus. They draw 14,000. Colorado draws 14,000. Dallas draws 14,000. Boston draws 15,000. Houston, 15,000. Bigger cities. Now, maybe you could argue they have a few more things going on than St. Louis would at that time, but I don't know. This is a mystery to me. I think we're going to have the best ownership imaginable, true St. Louisans loaded with cash. We're going to have an incredible state-of-the-art $250 million stadium, coolest facility we've ever had in our town. But can we fill it after year two?
I think it's a great question. The viability of the league is what a lot of people were bringing up. The excitement of bringing a new professional sports team the construction alone, you're going to have jobs. It's not that far from NGA, so there's some progress. There's momentum in that area. Long-term viability, and I think that's why this has taken both sides a while to get to this point, is there's probably been some market research. Will it work? I think it's a fair question. The league, most people have said, doesn't make money. The way that they've been generating money lately is by adding teams. So if you need a little cash flow, you do an expansion, there's $200 million. Do another expansion, there's $200 million more coming into the league. So, yeah, the league long-term, I think, is a fair question. But it's also a growing sport. It is, whether you and I grew up playing it. How much more mainstream is European soccer, MLS scores, like ESPN, all of the major outlets?
Well, you did
now
grow up playing it, right? You're
I did
a Catholic?
Not.
You stopped playing? Oh,
no,
well, you kind of had some Wisconsin things going on.
We moved here after fifth grade, back to my mom's hometown, and I was kind of behind in soccer. I was way ahead, of course, in the other sports.
Yeah.
But I never played soccer. Never took to it.
I think
what a
that
loss.
Most, yeah, gosh.
For the sports, clearly.
Most people who grew up Catholic in St. Louis played for a minimum of 6 or 7 years, whether they liked it or not. You know, starting in first grade.
For
lady,
sure.
Yeah.
Carson's playing. He's not
I
the
thought
next.
He was thinking about retiring.
Well, he prematurely announced his retirement because Dad had sent the papers in that he was playing. And once I spent that $120 on that CYC, oh, he's playing.
Yeah. Kind of like an Andy Bennis thing. He prematurely retired and came back.
He may not score a goal or even see the field, but he's playing.
All right. Lap 3. The Cardinals. God bless the Pirates and the Royals of the world. They're the key to the season. Not Jack Flaherty, not Colton Wong. It's playing these god-awful teams when you really need to be playing them that will vault you to the top of the standings. Last night, another very talented right-hander shut out the Royals. Dakota Hudson, the ground ball machine, was at it again.
2-1 and a double play ball. Edmund Wong, the turn.
Yeah, it was a well-played game in all phases. You know, we just played a nice ball game, and Dakota set the tone and controlled a lot of counts, did a really nice job, a lot of quality pitches, you know, down the zone. It's good slider going, a lot of them are on the plate. So he was very, very effective, did a really nice job.
Martin, these two, Flaherty and Hudson, I don't know if you said it first or I'm just thinking of it randomly. It just popped into my head, this Matt Morris and Alvin Bennis. Unfortunately, injuries kept Bennis from having the career he should have. But these two look like they're destined for really nice careers.
Yeah, if I'm DeWitt and Moe and Gersh and people wondering about the future of the franchise, and there's a lot of legitimate questions, I'm looking at the last two nights and saying, God, that's what we have to be. Those two guys have to be leading our staff. We've been, you know, pumping them for several years. This is their time to kind of take over. It was just the Royals, but that is a glimpse of your future. That's the best case scenario, is that Flaherty and Hudson are good. And you've got almost dual aces for the next, what, 5-6 years. That's something you can build around. Now, they still got a lot of holes. But if those guys are good on back-to-back nights, I understand Kansas City's terrible. But they do have some hitters. I mean, that team, when we were talking about it with Rick Horton on Tuesday, I mean, Merrifield, Soler, Dozier. I mean, they've got guys who can hit, and you shut them out 2 straight nights. So it's a glimpse. It's one thing, if you want to be negative, which we are a lot, if you're looking for a positive, if it's those two leading your staff.
Lap 4. The offense. Go figure. No hit for 6 and end up with 6 runs. Not an explosive night, just with 8 hits. But they did get a big hit in the 8th inning from Paul DeJong that was historical.
And now he hits one a ton out to deep left. Paul DeJong with home run number 20. The first in Cardinals history to be a shortstop to have 20 home run campaigns, multiple 20 home run campaigns, Paul DeJong.
You know, becoming a shortstop is a big thing for me. So, you know, my offense, I thought, has always been one of my strongest suits. But to be able to play shortstop at a high level and hit like I know I can means a lot, especially for this storied organization.
So I have no idea if my thought will be a reality. Second best Cardinal shortstop post-World War II after Ozzie. Edgar Renteria, really good. But if this guy's here for 10 years and has 200-plus home runs, plays rock-solid defense, goes to All-Star games, he just may do it. Because Renteria wasn't here, you know, long enough.
I just don't want him laying claim to the 2020 nickname, Frank. Now that he's gone 20 twice, 2020. I think you have to look at DeJong and realize what I don't think he's ever going to be a 300 hitter. He's going to be a shortstop that hits doubles and hits homers. You know, you may be looking at the end of the year, 23 homers, 75 RBIs. He's just, I think if you look at his average, you got to kind of let that go. That I don't think he's ever going to be a high average guy. I'm sure that's on his radar that he wants to be. But don't you see him being a bit of a 270 hitter that has...
Well, if he's 270 with that power, we'll take that in a heartbeat.
With power.
Yeah, I just don't want him to be under 250.
Yeah, that's fair. No, I think that's a guy... Obviously, it's a guy that they believe in because they already locked him up. But I think if he's hitting 25 a year playing short, I can live with that.
Lap 5. Lineup tonight. Now, Randy Arozarena did get 2 hits. And that first one, even though it went off of Yachty, is still a base hit because it went by the shortstop. And he looked like he had some good at-bats. So do you bench a guy who got 2 of your 8 hits? Do you bench a guy coming off the most torrid AAA season with this anemic offense? Start him in center. Tommy Edmond, who went 0-for-5, can finally take a break tonight. Yes, he can. What do you think?
Well, I think the problem now, I don't have a DH, so I'm going to give Edmond a night off. I'm going to play Carpenter. That's sort of my question every night, Carpenter or Edmund. And Lane Thomas, who had been pretty good and small sample size, as we guessed last night, he was the odd man out for Arozarena.
Is it Sonny Gray tonight? I think it is for Cincinnati. So you'd probably want to start Fowler and Wright, and then you make your decision about Thomas
or Arozarena, right?
Yeah.
My guess is that they'll go back to Thomas tonight just so that he doesn't get iced. But Arozarena, the reason he's here is he could be a bit of a spark.
I mean, if he came hitting nearly 400 and he goes 2-for-4, how do you say, okay, you're going back to the bench with this horrible offense?
Well, would you sit Fowler? Probably not.
He probably won't.
He won't. I think it's going to be Arozarena or Thomas, and they'll go back to Thomas, if I had to guess. But
Is it Sonny Gray tonight? Yeah, okay.
And we got Michael Wacha.
Yeah, maybe the bigger issue is who's on the mound for
Owns that park.
2.53 earned run average in Cincinnati.
That shocks everybody.
Yeah.
When you tell them that, and I guess they could justify putting him out there because of that stat, but nobody has any confidence that this is going to go
okay, in fact, that's the question. The confidence level in Wacha tonight on a 1 to 10, knowing he's had success there.
It'll be...
You want to give his
level
line
of 1 to 10, what's your confidence level? 2?
Like a 4.
Oh, okay.
3 and 2/3, 4 earned, I think.
I'd like to know what
3 and 2/3 and 4 earned, wow.
I want to know what the plan is for him. Is it just one time through the order and get him out? Because I'm confident he'll do that. Or is it we want you to go deep because you're starting off a 4-game set?
Don't you think?
At which point I'm not confident.
Even with him, you got to go 5.
I give him 3 innings.
Who's been tapped on the shoulder? Be ready. Is it Helsley?
Probably Helsley. They haven't used him
pitches?
In a while. Yeah.
Is right.
It's got to be Helsley.
They always have that guy who never pitches. Was it Shelby Miller in October of 2013 went missing?
Well, it was Michael Wacha.
Michael Wacha until the last second. Helsley feels like that guy right now.
That worked.
I don't feel confident, but then again, it's sports things. It's always the opposite. So maybe he'll be okay. Can I sell you on 4 innings, 3 runs, and they take him out?
I'll go 5-2.
Ooh, all right.
I'm optimistic about him.
Want to bet a milkshake or a scone?
All right. what's tomorrow? Tomorrow's Friday.
Tomorrow's Friday. I'll bring food tomorrow. How about that?
Hey.
I don't know what I'm bringing, but I'll bring food tomorrow.
Michael Wacha, first time facing opponents. Oh, this is ugly. 322 average, 386 on base, and a 557 slugging. Opponents are slugging .655 against Wacha on pitches 1 through 25 during a start.
I bet he's touching 97, 98, but then getting it up and giving up some bombs.
Yeah, I'm not sure it matters how fast the ball coming out of his hand matters when it's coming off harder off the bat.
Yeah, but then we're playing. No one's done that before.
And if we got a pitcher, where would we put him?
Yeah.
All right, so Frank's throwing me a scone tomorrow.
All right, left 5.
Innings, 2 runs.
Kind of an interesting story. Minka Fitzpatrick. Defensive back, former first-round pick of the Dolphins out of Alabama. Omar Kelly is a writer in Miami, and he said, I hate to say this, but Minka Fitzpatrick is not playing well. So Minka's mother is named Melissa, and she responded, no, you would never want to do that. Maybe it's because he's not a strong safety and he's being used – there to suit other people's skill set, not his own. But you know, let's just keep ripping him because we know it breaks your heart to do that. That's his mom.
Are we sure that Minka didn't set up an account for his mom? Are we sure that Minka didn't get into mom's account?
He has since said, I wish my mom would have stayed out of it, but I appreciate her loyalty.
It sounds like a really good breakdown that maybe he fed mom or typed in there. I don't mind that. It stirs it up a little bit. Brenda famously called in to this radio station and said what was real with the head coach and who ordered the medical visit.
Since nobody really watches or listens anymore, I don't think, in terms of players and coaches. Maybe a few. Have you had an instance where you said something and then that person, like the one time, in fact, Dick Dean is right over there. I may have mentioned the story. Dallas Drake bought a Hummer, and that's when Hummers were the coolest things on the face of the earth. And Dallas Drake was a fine player, but not an elite player. And I just said something like, wow, I just saw Dallas Drake at Dick Dean. He just bought a brand new Hummer. Dallas Drake? I mean, aren't those for the Brett Halls of the world? And then so I went to practice an hour and a half later. Oh, I'm not good enough to drive a Hummer.
Steven Jackson one time stopped me, and he didn't like something I had said the day before. And I said, oh, my God, I say 1,000 stupid things. What was it? And he said, we played a clip where he was talking about his season goals. It was during the preseason. And he said, like, I want to rush for 1,500 yards. And the team was terrible. And he said, the clip ended, and I said, good luck with that. And he said he took it as condescending. I said, I would never be condescending about you. I said, probably about the team. And I think we cleared it up that I was making fun of the team instead of him.
And he was fine with that.
Which is
was he fine with that?
Yeah, I don't know if he was fine with it.
I wasn't making fun of you.
Just
I was
kind
making
of agreed
fun of the
to
team
disagree
for.
That maybe I was a smartass.
Yeah.
The famous one on this show, remember, Matt Holliday called in.
That's right.
And you didn't say anything that bad. You
I just said because he had missed some time.
Yeah, you went around the diamond. It was during the offseason, and Frank said, well, all right, you got so-and-so in right, so-and-so in center, and Holliday in left. He's going to miss some games, so you could play this guy at the... And then Brian Bart, to the PR guy, called during the break and said, hey, guys, what's the call-in number? Why? They said, Matt Holliday wants to call in. It was the greatest compliment, though, because he said, hey, guys, I was listening. I was going to my workout. And he goes, I think Frank mentioned. I said, yes, definitely Frank. He said, Frank mentioned that I'm going to miss some games. But if you look at my career resume, I don't miss that many games.
Yeah, and he was correct, and I was incorrect.
So you never know. It's true. You never know who's listening. The problem
now
is
Kyle Loesch too.
Oh,
Frank can mention that he was like the best.
No, I got.
Year
in
pitcher.
Fact, while you were saying that, I looked just to double check Kyle Loesch's career stats. I think this was. I believe this is the first time I ever got on Twitter, which was probably a big mistake. And I just tweeted out after another great Kyle Loesch outing. I said Kyle Loesch is the greatest pitcher in baseball history in the walk year of a contract, because remember. When he came to St. Louis,
he had a 1 year, 2008, okay. Right?
Yeah, he came here and he went 15-6, got the big deal.
Yep.
And then in his last year in St. Louis, he goes 16-3, gets $40 million.
From Milwaukee.
Yeah, he's the greatest. And he said, oh, well,
so
it's kind of a backhand.
He came up and said,
he said, it's kind of a backhanded compliment, Frank. I said, no, I was just complimenting your great timing.
And that
he wasn't
and that Bentley coupe you have is.
Oh, boy, did he have a car.
Yeah. I think the problem now is the spies listen. So they hear things. I think even years ago, Orlando Pace got into camp, and I went up to interview him. He goes, oh, you want to talk? You've been killing me, man. I'm like, I have not been killing you. And he said, I heard. I said, well, what did you hear? And it's always somebody else.
Yeah.
We could make a joke on this show and then like, hey, they were killing you today. Oh, really? I'm like, it was probably Frank, to be candid.
All right, lap six. Stream of con. I believe that if the Chicago Cubs went to play Westminster Christian Academy at Westminster, they'd struggle. Haven't won a road series since the middle of May. 0-10-2. 14 games under 500. Got beat 11-1 last night. Cole Hamels rocked. They have 21 road games left, including the final three of the season away from Wrigley right here in Busch Stadium. Handmaid's Tale, Martin, if you don't watch this, have you started it all?
We're in about episode six, I think.
Season finale, Plowsy has 12 minutes to watch. In fact, I think it was rather cruel what your significant other did.
She was a little tired, and so we had 12 minutes to go. Just leading to that intense season finale, last 10 minutes of every finale is, you know, special.
You want to watch it together, and you were very gracious to turn it off.
Yeah, most boyfriends, husbands would have turned it on in their backup camera in the garage and finished watching it. I, however, went to bed with her, so I have 12 minutes to go.
Are you watching it on Hulu?
Yes.
Is that how you get it? And you guys are big spenders. We don't have the package. It's ad-free.
I actually like the ads.
But do you notice how they
you
come
like
on?
The ads? They're the first person ever...
They're the same ones,
they're
though.
Weird.
That's annoying.
They're weird ads, but they come on very abruptly.
Yes.
Like in the middle of a
yes.
You're watching a scene, and then it, boop, it's a great guerrilla advertising way to force you to watch it.
Yep.
But extremely annoying, and I was complaining, and my wife said, "Well, you didn't want to pay the extra $4 or whatever."
Wow!
I think it was $5.99, or $9.99. I said, "Oh, the $5.99 is fine." And then these damn commercials. I only like our commercials.
Yes, absolutely.
So when's the spoiler alert? When are you going to let it out?
Well, all I can say is, when you turn it back on with 12 minutes to go, there's going to be a scene with guns that you're going to go like this.
Good.
There's a moment
right
there.
I'm right at a good part, too, so it's tough.
All right, let's take a short time out. Before we go to break, quick word about Hollywood Casino. If you're looking for a place for the weekend, I recommend staying at Hollywood Casino in one of their newly refurbished rooms. They spent hundreds of thousands of dollars to make it spectacular. 99 Hops House is a great place to watch games. Final Cut Steakhouse is a great place to have a steak and lobster dinner. Hollywood Casino, our title sponsor. When we come back, Bill McDermott.